Hey, all you car guys, car gals, and solutionaries out there, thank you so much for joining us for part two of this five-liner with the one, the only, Tracy Myers. We are so excited to be joining Tracy and Troy Spring at the return of the Mastermind in sunny Myrtle Beach, August 4th. 6th. You do not want to miss this event. Go to unfairadvantagemastermind.com to get yourself signed up. We cannot wait to meet you there. Thank you so much again for joining us on this adventure with Tracy Myers. And folks, this message has been brought to you by our friends at Dealership Toolkit and Think Ad Group. So get ready, get your toes tapping, get your hands clapping, get your fingers snapping. Let's groove!
That's a beautiful thing, and I love that you have that culture, because you, I mean, I would fit right into your culture, just like you would fit right into ours, because that's exactly what we are. We're at the store I'm at, we're pre-owned. We deal with that. We deal with 80% subprime. You know, we definitely love to help people. We love to be what we call transportation problem solvers, because we don't sell cars.
We're solutions providers. Yeah,
that's automotive. What I'm talking about, you know the deal. You have that culture, and that's crazy. Some people laugh when you tell them that, especially a car guy that's been at other dealerships. But when I've been there, even I did. When I first started working for this group, I laughed. I was like, "Oh, I got you, got you." But then I started working there, and then I felt the culture. Then I understood it, and then I became that culture, and I love it. And that's subprime hero all day. And I just want to bring light to this. Here's the thing, guys. And I've talked about it all year long since Corona happened. Subprime is a bigger market now. There's a lot of people who were near prime, all of a sudden now they're subprime. A lot of things happened this past year. People lost jobs, couldn't work. They were on furlough for 6-7 months. You know, some people made more money during furlough, but the majority of people that were doing decent, they did not. They had to take pay cuts. They had to not be able to pay certain bills. They had to make decisions that they never made before. Right. So it was a unique time in the world, but subprime became a bigger market. So folks, if you're not out there doing what Tracy's doing at his store, like we're doing at our store or a lot of stores that I do know out there, if you're not doing that, you're missing a big part of the market share. And that's okay. If you don't want to do it, I'll take it all. But at the same time, there's plenty of it for everybody out there because it got so big. It's plenty. There's plentiful. Treat everybody like a millionaire when they walk in your store. Make them all feel good. Make them feel like you truly care, that you're listening to their story, that you're going to do everything you can in your power to help them get to the next level. In the next level, whether it's leaving in a nicer, newer vehicle or giving them a path to purchase to show them how to get their credit right. Because sometimes people just say, no, I can't help you, and they kick them out. Well, that's crappy too. They just spent their time, gave you trust, gave you their credit information, said all this stuff, and at the end, all you do is say, I can't help you. Well, why can't you help them? Explain, and then tell them what they need to do if they did this, this, and this, what they can do to make themselves get to that opportunity to be able to purchase a vehicle.
They may not all listen, right?
They may not all listen. Nope.
But you got to at least give them some value.
You got to do it. And if you do it every time consistently, I promise you, your numbers go up. Your customer appreciation goes way the heck up. You'll get referrals from those customers even if they don't buy. It's crazy, but it's true.
And you'll be surprised how many people stop and say, nobody's ever told me this. And then you sit there like, I bet, and I know, and it's unfortunate, but I'm the one doing it. Just want to make sure that you remember, I'm the one that's telling you right now. You know what I mean? Remember me. Man, that's such great value is what's needed inside of any communication moment. Anytime that you're building a relationship, you have to be able to see the value of the person and be able to deliver value back to them and understand that person still took their time. Their money is just as green, right? And it's all digitized now, right? So it transfers the same. Your numbers go up if you fund this many deals. Is it a little bit more to deal with? Yes, but it's worth it. It's worth helping these people. It's worth building your clientele. The thing that we were so blessed with inside of being in a store for so long is, well, as salespeople, we were, when we first started our career, we were inside of the store for about a year before we were to another spot and then on the road. And then we were, you know, doing marketing all over the country. Then we had the chance to be inside of a dealership for some time to then see these faces really come back.
Yes.
To see them making those upgrades, to see their kids now buying cars. That is the stuff that makes you say, wow, I am so glad that I firmly planted my roots, my root system, and I can see the fruit of it now. Yeah. And but with that, I've given pointers to them when dad was, you know, was in a subprime status. Now dad's a mid 700s co-signing for his son that could not have been possible had not had an honest conversation 6-7 years ago. You know what I mean?
What's even funny is they even walk different. Yes. They have a different swag about them. They come in, they're all like, hey, what's going on?
You know, it's still do whatever he says. Whatever he says.
Listen to Fred. He knows what he's talking about. And that's the thing. Like, you know, and that all starts with the very first question we asked you. It's a legacy that you're leaving. Right. Even that is part of your legacy, folks. The people that you touch, the people that come back, that if you educate them and they come back and the things that you said happen, that's your legacy. They will remember you for that. They'll remember you the rest of their lives. And that's crazy as it seems. A car buying purchase is very emotional. A car buying purchase is a very big deal. It's in most people's cases, it's the number one biggest purchase they make. But maybe the second in a lot of cases, a home and then a car. But there's a lot of people who don't buy homes. They just buy cars, right? So remember that. That is a big deal to them. This isn't like going in and buying a pair of new Nikes. This is literally the biggest decision that most people make, or the very first big decision they make in their lives. So make sure that you guys treat them right and do the right things, you know? And that all starts with being trained the right way, you know? And I'm going to ask that. I know we've been going for a minute. I'm going to go for the third question on that.
We can tend to ramble.
We can ramble a little bit. Yeah, sure.
I'm trying to shut up, man. I just want to keep interrupting, but I know you guys are together, right?
Please do so. Please do so.
You can interrupt anytime.
Just put your hand like that, and we know.
Just one more thing. I know we'll come back to it at some point. But you know, I hear from car guys and car girls all the time, and they ask, you know, well, look, if it's not a commodity-based business, which the commodity has to happen, right? The transaction has to happen because that's how we get paid, right? But they're like, if it's not a commodity-based business, then how do you make money? I'm like, look, if you provide the solutions and you're a servant, then the money happens.
That's right, every time.
Right? If it's only commodity-based, then you never build a relationship with a customer. They rarely come back to you. The referrals don't happen. You don't get their kids, their grandkids, their aunts, uncles, cousins. Nothing happens except that one transactional item. It's like Walmart. And this is what we use in training all the time. And there's nothing wrong with Walmart, biggest retail in America, right? Brick and mortar. But people go to Walmart for one reason. It's a commodity-based business, and they have the lowest price. If you look at their stars on Google, their rating is like 1.5 stars here in North Carolina. I'm sure it's probably the same everywhere. You don't go to Walmart for the experience, for the relationships. You go for the price. And that's a perfect correlation to prove to car people, right, that people will pay more for an experience. They'll pay more for solutions. And it's not always about the commodity. Is there a place for that in our business? Absolutely. And there are models that prove that as well. But that's not the business I want to be.
Nope. Right. And commodities in that it's always a transaction that's going to happen.
Correct.
Happening. So you either put yourself in the path of it and make sure that people have designed their pathway to getting that commodity only through you, right? And or it'll go the other way. Like, I know that we'll do all that we can to kind of dodge Walmart itself because of the relationship inside of that experience, right? Because of the way things feel, because of the experience. We will pay a little bit more, we'll pay 50 cents more, a dollar more for that little thing to not have to go through the Walmart experience, if you will, where some others would actually, I'm always going to shop for that price. And me, I don't mind it so much, but sometimes it's different when you do see that, hey, this is actually is less, but I prefer the relationship. It is actually better over there, but I prefer the relationship with this person. I prefer to do business with this person. And like saying earlier, like if I was that guy with the kids that are now doing it and I walk in and Fred's my guy, this is the hero. Listen to him because you're going to buy cars the rest of your life. Buy it from this guy. You know, this is the relationship you want to have instead of it all just blending into the ocean of where the transactions can happen. Because ultimately there's one you and there's one product that you're going to really buy today. So let's make that connection. We can make that work, right?
Yeah.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. You know, and that's the thing. We all get trained on this type of stuff. And some people take the training and they go with it. And then there's people that have really influenced us. And that leads me into my next question. when you've been coming up in this business, you know, you've seen things, maybe life, when you've been coming up in this business of life, you know, you've done a lot of amazing stuff, man. You've written books, you've put out shows, and Carmen, I've watched it. Amazing. There's a lot of stuff that you've done that are really, it's really unique to the business. And you try to bring, what you bring to the business is you bring light. All right. But there was somebody who influenced you. You know, I'm sure there's somebody that gave you a great mentorship, said, hey, you know, gave you some great tips. Who would that person be?
Yeah, look, as odd as it may sound, I think most people expect me to say my dad, right? And make no mistake about it, he's taught me most of what I knew about the car business and continues to be my mentor.
Absolutely.
However, we didn't have much of a relationship until I came into the business because I never saw him.
Right.
I spent more time with my father when I started working for him at 23, 24 years old than I ever saw him as a kid. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? We build on those experiences in our mind. But the first person to put their arms around me to answer your question and say, look, you have greatness inside of you is Tom Hopkins. Mm. And Tom, to a lot of people that don't know that generation of sales trainers, which was probably Tom Hopkins, Joe Birdie, you know, Jim Rohn, some of those guys. I went to a success seminar, and they used to travel quite often, right? Came to every city. It was free to get in.
Right.
And it was usually Tom and Joe, and Jim was on some of those. You had a couple celebrities. Christopher Reeve, after he had his accident, was at a couple, right? And he said like four words, and everybody stood up. And it was a pretty cool thing, right?
Yeah.
But Tom was there. And, man, Tom absolutely blew my mind when I saw Tom. So, of course, you get him free, but they sell you their books and VHS tapes at the time, cassette tapes, out at the table. I'm assuming that's the way they made money. So I went to Tom's table, man, and I'm like fighting through those people. I'm like, man, you just changed my life.
Wow.
And, you know, he said, hey, just move to the side. So, of course, Tom's still a salesperson, right? Mm-hmm. Tom's got this guy right here. So when the crowd had cleared some, Tom's like, look, man, you need my whole deal, right? It's like normally $39.95 and you get all these books and all these tapes and all these. And I said, brother, I don't have, you know, I'm 24 years old. I don't have $2,000. In 1999, I'll never forget.
Right.
He said, well, who can you call? So I said, I called my father on the payphone at the Coliseum. I said, dude, I just need your credit card number. He said, for what? And I said, well, I'm going to buy this, man. You don't need that stuff. You know, you don't need any of that stuff. Just listen to me. You'll learn everything you need. Because my father really didn't until later. He saw it worked, right? Because I really believe in, you know, in training and informing yourself and getting better. And my dad was like, look, you learn from experience. He's old school. He's a military guy, right?
Yeah.
I said, look, I'll pay you back. Just okay. Gave me his credit card number. I went and got the deal. Tom actually invited me to his boot camp, 3-day boot camp deal, changed my life again, right? Then Tom invited me to his house in Phoenix, right, for an Academy Master Closers. And when I say invite, I paid for all this stuff. Tom was awesome. And I still keep in touch with Tom and full circle later. And you can say that's a mentor. But I wrote Tom this pre-email, right? I was writing Tom letters and sending Tom cards, and Tom would write back, and then Tom got my number, and then Tom would call me, and I would call Tom, and we ended up writing a book together.
Wow.
And Tom's still the guy that put his arm around me, and he'd say, look, man, you're destined for greatness. You know, people need to hear what you have to say. And whether that was for, and I'm going to be 50% cynical here, right? Whether that was for his monetary gain or not, doesn't matter. It's how I chose to accept it.
Yes.
It mattered. And I accepted that Tom Hopkins, who to me was the greatest salesperson that I'd ever met and ever talked to, told me I had greatness and I could be as great as he was. I believe that. I chose to believe that. And honestly, I don't care how much money I spent with him or how much money he made. That's irrelevant to me. Because I chose to believe it. I chose to accept it. And I chose to act on it. So long answer, but the short of it is Tom Hopkins.
I don't think that's a long answer at all. I think that was a very perfect answer.
Yes.
And what I really love about that, and speaking of the him making money on that, like you said, doesn't matter.
Because
here's the thing. If you didn't pay, would you have gone that hard on it? Right.
Nope.
And that's called accountability. A lot of times, folks, when you really want something, you have to show how you want it. And when you're a trainer and you're something like that, when somebody brings, like, he knew, hey, you need this. You're like, I don't got it. You called your dad. You got it like this. That means you had to close your pops to give you that money so he can get it. So that one knew you were a closer.
One of the hardest calls I've ever had to make, by the way.
I could imagine. I don't know how you did it.
My dad's not that guy. You don't call and ask for $2,000 for a bunch of tapes and books. What are you talking about, son?
But it was the best decision you ever made, and you sold it to your dad as this. I'm passionate. I want to grow. I want to do it. He understood it, and you did it. And you even said, "Hey, look, I'm gonna pay you back." And not only were you able to pay him back, you look where you're at now.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, and Tom saw that in you, and that turned you into a monster in your mind. There's something about having somebody that you look up to, like, wow, this is like almost godlike, right? You're like, this dude is amazing. The best car guy, best closer I know. He just said I could be as good as him. He just said that I have that level inside me. Wow. That does encourage you. You know, I know that every time I've ever heard that from somebody I look up to, it always made me feel wonderful, you know, and it made me feel way more confident in myself, you know, and don't get me wrong. I have a lot of confidence in myself, but at the same time, there's something about people feeding you a little bit of that. Right. And you earn that. And you earn that from the guy that you looked up to, that you went to a meeting and you saw all these great car guys and you were like, this is the one. And he saw that inside you. There's something about that. I see that in people too. I see that when I hire somebody, there's something about them inside them. You know that they're going to go big places and you just want to help them get there. And I'm so glad you found that.
And that's the, you know, that goes back to the legacy part, right? Because Tom told me, and then I desperately want other people to feel the way that I felt at that moment when Tom told me that.
Yeah.
And I get so frustrated, and man, I have to back myself down because I'll get angry when they choose not to accept, you know, continuing education in some part, because it's so, man, I sound like the old guy now, but it's so much easier now. And we had to pay, I could dig, I don't even have to dig. I keep these Joe Verde VHS tapes, right?
Yeah.
Because I paid like $4,000 a piece for these VHS tapes in my own pocket, right? This is after Tom Hopkins. And they're in pristine condition, but I absolutely wore them out, but I paid for them.
Right.
And you don't have to pay for any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah,
so this show we're on today, right? People can access this information and this learning and this training, man, and get life experiences and pay nothing. And we didn't have that luxury.
Nope.
And part of that is fantastic if they choose to accept it, right? Internalize it and learn from it and act on it, right? You got to act. But like you said, because they don't pay, and there's so much of it now, a lot of people say it'll always be there and it's free, so it's not important.
Right, right.
And that concerns me a bit because it frustrates me.
I totally agree with that. And it is a little frustrating because, like, the accountability thing, that factor, that drive is there because it is. It's everywhere now. We can learn. You can watch the show. You can go. Those Verde tapes, promise you they're on YouTube.
They're on YouTube.
Look up Joe Verde. You'll find anything you need for training. Look up Grant Cardone's old videos. They're all there. Everybody's videos are out there. You just got to go get it. But the thing is like he said, there's something about putting a little skin in the game. When you put a little skin in the game, man, it makes you really dig in there. You really want to read. It's like somebody gives you a book to read. Most people don't read it. But if you buy the book, you probably read it because you spent money on the book, right? So it's something about that. You know, like he mentioned earlier, somebody can watch a video. Doesn't mean they're going to learn nothing. You could take a horse to water, folks, but doesn't mean they're going to drink it. So if the ones that do drink it, man, great. The ones that don't, man, hopefully one day they do. But that's their decision. You can only show them the way. You can only give them the path. You can only do everything that you can to help them. But they have to help themselves at the end of the day. They have to really focus on it and get planned out for that. So, man, I love it. I love it, man. Tracy, you bring in some great stuff.
So much. I mean, you're making me, Jay, jump into different places of again, just going back to the seed and then the fruit and the time in between. And when you unlock something that's on somebody else's life by sowing a seed into it, you make yourself a receptacle of what is on them. So you putting that, it didn't make his world. It didn't change his world, you paying him that. There was a monetary gain, but his life would have been pretty much going in the direction it already was without your deposit, right? But it was crucial for you to get that seed into the ground so that there was a pathway to be opened up for you to reap what was on his life. That's it's honor. And if you give honor, honor comes back to you.
Yes, sir.
And whatever you give is generally what you'll see coming back. But if you open up the doorway for people to deposit, for people to encourage, for people to be able to give the best of them to you, then, and you actually want it. See, it's one thing to just have that, right? If dad went and bought all of those tapes and had all that stuff sitting at the store because dad knew everything, it wouldn't have been the same for you.
Nope.
Just it's sitting there, right? You had to go seek it out. You wanted that truth. You wanted somebody to pierce something inside of you that exploded a well of great, incredible, life-giving oil and water and all the things that it takes for us to continuously grow and move on in life. You sought that out. And because you sought it out, you're enjoying the fruits of your success because you've gone through the – sometimes it's hard to get through those conversations, the little bit of pain and struggle. And sometimes the pain and the struggle is having a hard conversation to get somebody else to believe that you believe what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? That you really believe it deep in your heart. Dad, I got to have it. We got to do this. Dad, help me. Help me. And then to have them attach their dollars behind your passion shows the level of understanding that usually can only come from a mentor. He may not have even gotten it. Like, dude, I don't even understand what you're talking about. There's nothing in there that I don't know, and I'll teach it to you so you just sit there and listen. But no, Dad, there's something in here. And then there's that switch that says, wow, you mean this. Wow, you're very – wow, I've never seen you moved like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put whatever I can behind it because, son, I want to see you grow. I want to see my legacy with that gleam in their eye, with that hope, with that spirit. And that's the seed that then turns into just, you know, Dad gave a number. But he gave a blessing to that seed that you were putting in and said, yeah, I'll put a seed into it too, son. I believe in what you're believing in just because you believe it. I mean, that's I know it. Nothing about it, but I'm with it. You know what I mean? And that's why it's important for us to build the people around us too, to say, hey, your ideas matter. Where you're wanting to grow matters. And I want to help make sure that you grow in that path. And it's not always business, right? A lot of times our business gets stronger by building up the people and their personal than when we're just trying to say, hey, focus on building my business. You know, hey, I want to focus on my business on building you. And then, man, you got pillars that'll keep you strong for a legacy of time. But speaking of keeping it strong for legacy of time, we've had a lot of people say a lot of things. Let's hit that up before we jump to this next question. You want to run through some of those because I can't see them all. I know Wendy was with us. Good morning, Wendy.
Yeah.
Good morning, Alex.
We got a lot of amazing people.
Yeah, a lot of great
saluting. Alex, we got what I can't even see it. My eyes are getting, I'm getting older, I can tell.
Rexy is from India.
That's right. We got Jay. What's up, Jay? Jay is a good friend of ours. I love that he's here this morning. Appreciate you. We got, Jason, my dude. Jason Garris, Nexcel App, my dude. You got Brad Owens. Thank you for being here this morning, my friend. Robert Jacko.
This guy's
an amazing dude. I love him. His videos are the best. Then you got Joseph Perez.
Bro, man, you had a great show the other night, bro. Yeah, he was
on Paul Meyer Live on Sunday Night Live. Very good show the other night. Joseph is a great person too, folks. You haven't, reach out to him if you guys want to get to know more about Joseph. But, man, great Fixed heart, ops. Great person. Fixed Ops is what he's all about. So, all right. So, that being said, what's up?
So, inside of that, again, we understood that the toughest – or one of the hardest conversations you've had to have is, Dad, hey, give me some of your money for my dream, you know. But
that was tough. Yeah.
But you, I mean, this is also, and for those of you that are just catching up or just now listening on the podcast in the future, you know, we're talking with Tracy Myers, who's actually been homeless and has had some hard hits on the chin. So, asking a person that has risen to the levels that you have in business, and of course you're still climbing, that's what keeps you in the game, is the joy of being able to say, how fast can we make this engine run? You know what I mean? And I want to know, what has been the hardest thing for you to learn, like the hardest lesson inside of all of this? I know mine was, I mean, and this was years ago, just take title away from money, right? You started in the detail department, but that was important, you know, for that purpose. It wasn't about the money. It was about the growth process. What has been the hardest lesson you had to learn? Because for those of you that don't know, if you're a PhD, Papa has dealership, right? If you're one of those and he puts you inside a detail, how many of you would make it through that test? I'm over here really questioning myself. I am.
You know, he waited until I was already here and moved and didn't have a lease. And, you know, it's like, okay, And originally I had thought that I would stay there and until I found something else, because no way I was going to stay there. And that just turned into a couple of years, right? Because then it turned into, and I'm going to prove to him I can do this.
Damn right.
So there's a little of that father-son competitive nature coming out there, but that was always a good thing. But the toughest thing for me, you know, it actually goes back to what you were just saying. Even though my dad always said it, sometimes we have to live it to actually learn it. And that's, he said, look, son, titles mean nothing. Don't mean anything. And I really didn't understand what he meant by that until much later in life. Because I thought if he made me a sales manager, I'd be a sales manager. If he made me a manager, I'd be a manager, general manager, right? If he made me the owner, then I would, I guess I would be the owner by default, right? If he made me the owner. But just because somebody says you're a leader, that doesn't necessarily make you a leader. And if you don't have a title of a leader, you can still be a leader, right? And that's what I try to transpose that to my team all the time. You know, you don't have to be the team leader. I don't have to call you a leader. You prove yourself to be a leader by your actions, and by default, you're a leader. So that was really the hardest thing for me to grasp. So, because I think, especially when you're younger, you want to be the boss, you know? And just because somebody appoints you the boss or knights you as the boss, that doesn't make you a boss, right? It takes skill, and it takes a skill set, and those are learned attributes. Now, there are terrible leaders and terrible bosses and terrible managers, and yes, they're appointed, put in those positions, and they stay in those positions for whatever reason forever. And you know, that's another conversation for another day. Ooh. However, that doesn't mean that they're good at it. It's like the 8-car-a-month salesperson, right? And they know everything, and they're training the new people that are coming in at some stores. Like, what the heck are they doing? You know, shadow this guy. Why? He's selling 8 cars. Why would I shadow this guy? I want to shadow the other guy. Well, he's too busy. Exactly. I will make him coffee. Whatever I've got to do for that guy, right? Let me shadow him. I will stay out of his or her way. Don't put me with an 8-car guy. The reason the 8-car guy's got time is because he learned how to sell 8 cars his first, you know, 90 days in the business, and he's not grown since then. And there's way too many of those people in our business. And I guess every store might need that 8-car person that gets out of people's way and doesn't burn through opportunities. But they drive me insane. But anyway.
Underachieving, you know, and that's the thing, like, it's that you're so right. You know, you if you're going to learn from the guy who's crushing it, right?
Right.
I'm not going to go to the guy who's below average or at average. I don't want to be an average guy. You know, the thing is, like you said, there's too many of them out there. They got comfortable. There's a thing I'm very not happy with. I was very comfortable for a while too, but then I realized being comfortable is not the way I want to live.
Right.
I'm bored. I start to get anxiety. I start to make mistakes because I'm trying to feed myself this energy from something that's not a good source instead of just doing it every day, right?
Well, and we're not growing unless we're uncomfortable.
100%. If you're just – you're dying if you're not growing. That's how I feel. So when you're comfortable, it means you're about to die, you know, or you're trying to. That's the thing. Like, and it's such a key thing for you folks out there. If you guys are right now in a situation where you feel like you're kind of plateaued out, look at yourself, reevaluate what you do every day. I'm sure that if you tweak something that puts you out of your comfort zone, just a hair even, you will start to see growth. You will start to see something different develop in your life. And 99% of the time, it's something amazing. 99% of the time, you're going to open your eyes and it'll turn you into doing something else. And then you start getting into a pattern or a habit of uncomfortable, which is a beautiful thing. Thrive to be uncomfortable. And I think that's something that you, and I know you, do extremely well. You've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but you do it all so well and with so much passion. I mean, well, there's nothing that you don't do that's not any passion in it.
All that came from the fact that I didn't feel like I necessarily maximized all my opportunities at the original store. Mm-hmm. But I want to challenge myself to see if I could open another store under a different name, under a different brand, and grow it. And that's what we did. And then I wanted to open a third store under a different name, a different brand, and grow it. And we did. I said, I want to do – my son was 7 or 8 years old at the time. I grew up watching wrestling. So the first thing – pro wrestling, not Olympic-style wrestling, right?
Right, right.
One of the first things we actually did together and one of our connection points was going to pro wrestling, right? The Ric Flair, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling. And he was automatically drawn to it. And that was our thing, right? As father and son. So when he was 7 or 8, I said, you know what? I'm going to put on, do a fundraiser here in town, and we're going to have a wrestling show, and my son will come and we'll have fun. And, you know, it went from being in the park. It was going to be in the parking lot of the dealership, right? In 3 weeks type deal. I said, no, man, I don't do anything like that. Why would I do that? That's just not the way I function. Right. So, I saw the poster. I'm like, man, this looks so horrible. This doesn't fit me as a brand, right? This small little, wrestling ring in the parking lot. Nothing wrong with that. We've done that. But anyway, let's make this thing the biggest, the best, the baddest, right? So let's push this thing 8 months out and see how bad. And keep in mind, I knew nothing about creating this myself. So like my dad said, man, surround yourself with people that know how to do what you want to do, right? And let them push you to the top. I said, okay, who knows how to do this? Because I don't know how to do this, right? So I brought those people in. I said, I want to put on the biggest wrestling event locally. That was the initial goal, right? Because that's all I knew. Well, that first year, and it was during Thanksgiving, the Coliseum, we rented the convention center. The convention center folks, they said, look, you'll never bring anybody in on Thanksgiving. That's just not the way it works, right? We don't even work on Thanksgiving. Our guy's time and a half because it's holiday weekend. That's fine, whatever. I think that's the weekend, right? So we went from a one-day event that drew 2,000 fans, which was insane. But now we are one of the largest three-day wrestling conventions in the world that happens at not last year for obvious reasons. It's Thanksgiving weekend every year, one of the largest in the world. And we raised $30,000 or so a year for the Salvation Army, but directly their division where they give to kids and families who don't have a Christmas toy drive. So
that's awesome.
But that branched out to a monthly promotion, right? Which branched out to a TV deal. And this whole time I'm like, man, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. Okay. You produce TV. Okay. You're on. All right.
There you go.
You know, how do we make income from this? Well, you got to sell ads. Well, I can sell. I got that part, right? But then I realized, man, I've got 3 dealerships. I can do it, but I'd like to sleep. You
know, I'm going to probably have to.
Yeah. So hire somebody that can sell. Here's what you need to sell. So I've really found out that my building blocks are the same for every business that I own, right?
Right.
Bring in people that know more than I do, that know how to do what I want to do, that have done where I feel like they can do and achieve greatness, and then, you know, tell them, show them my vision. I'm the vision guy.
Yeah.
Right. And the overseer and, you know,
the idea guy
and you implement and I'll watch you. And if I think we need to tweak it or change it, we have that conversation. If I don't micromanage because that drives me insane. Right. If you're not the guy, you're not the girl. We have the conversation. We have the conversation again. If the changes aren't made, we replace you. You know, but you have the opportunity to make it right because obviously we saw something in you from the beginning. That's why you're there in the first place. So, you know, all the business is really just it's like this. I'm like, you know, and at 49, I'm like, man, you know, we can really do this with everything. When we did conventions, exactly the same, the mastermind groups that we had before COVID hit, same exact thing. You know. Same concept, because I've never done those. And they're like, well, you know how hard this is? I'm like, yeah, but I'll find somebody that's done it before.
That's it.
It didn't seem like that big of a deal. I'm not trying to sound egotistical, but if they've done it, bring them in. It's proven, and let's rock and roll. Let's do it.
Right. And it's important that you deposit that trust in them to be able to do that. People have to have the room to run, right?
No doubt.
A great thoroughbred trainer has to give that thoroughbred the space to know it can unload.
Yeah.
Go for it. And if they feel restrained, then you're never going to get their full potential out of them. Well, at the same time, they need to know that you're feeding them, that you believe in them, and that you trust them to get you to the finish line you know, successfully. And that's awesome.
That's why you put those people in place to trust them.
We are looking forward to seeing you at the return of the Mastermind in Myrtle Beach, August 4th. August 6th, make sure that you go to unfairadvantagemastermind.com and get signed up today. See you there. Let's groove!